This is Richard Ellis Talks with founding pastor of Reunion Church in the heart of downtown Dallas, Richard Ellis. This is a place for encouragement and hope as Richard challenges us to continue to grow in Jesus. And all month long, he's focused on holiday themes as we share the 25 talks of Christmas. Now, if you're not able to stay with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up on the 25 Talks of Christmas Advent calendar on the website, richardellistalks.com. Every talk can be listened to whenever you're ready, on your own time, at richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message, instead of Away in a Manger, is The Way in a Manger. And I thought about for the last few weeks, it's interesting that song, Away in a Manger, I'm sure it has some significance poetically, but I kept hearing it's away in a manger. And the truth of the matter that Jesus was not just away in the manger, he is the way in a manger. And I want you to turn to John chapter 14 to begin with today. And I want you to look at some verses with me, not just for us to look at, but for you to use. And I think one of the things that people misunderstand about church and Bible studies and all these small groups is we get the impression, well, I'm going to go just to learn more information for my own good, instead of saying, you know what, I need to know this stuff for me to know it, but also when I get in these situations at Christmas or Easter, any time of the year, when people have questions of me or I don't have to point into some church or some preacher, I say, you know what, let me show you in the scriptures what God says and why this is true. And you don't need to be in some church and just say, well, the preacher says it, and that's why I believe it, and it's written in the Bible. I don't know why I believe it, but I just know it's there, and I'm just going to accept it. You need to know what you believe, why you believe it, so that not you can argue with someone, but at least explain and show them the answers, not even your own opinion, but what does God say about it? And one of the things in talking to hundreds of people that I discover is that they have these fears that someone's going to ask them a question they don't have the answer to. And there are some basic foundational issues, some questions that you can answer with Scripture. And I'm not going to read you, but maybe 4, 5, 6 today. And if you'll remember these and track these with somebody, just show them in the Scripture. Say, look, I didn't write this stuff. Like I tell you all, I didn't write this stuff. I just work here. You say, I didn't make this up. It's in the Scriptures. Here's what God says. And this is why it is true. And you just show them that. Well, let's look at one of them, John chapter 14. And let's begin in verse 1 and read down to the verse where we're going to end up. Jesus says to them in John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Now he's talking to them before he dies, before he goes to heaven, and he's trying to explain to them, look, I'm going to leave you. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to wonder what's up with this, but I'm going to leave. I'm not going to be here anymore. And eventually he would die, be buried, raised from the dead. He would be alive for 40 days on the planet. Then he ascended into heaven, and they didn't see him anymore. He was gone, and he's preparing them for this. And he tells them, I'm going to go, and if I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back for you so you can be with me where I am. And then in verse 4, he says something that throws them. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. He says, you know where I'm going, and you know the way to get there. Then verse 5, Thomas said to him, and he's the one that always doubted, the skeptic in the crowd, oh, show me proof, I got to see the hands, you know, where is this? Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way to get there. And then look at Jesus' response in John 14, 6. And if you got a pen and you underline your Bible, underline this one, because this is huge. This is a foundational scripture in the Bible. Verse 6, Jesus said to him, to Thomas, I am the way. The way is not like a road. The way is not like on a map somewhere. The way is a person. And he said, not only am I the way, but he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And makes an astounding statement at the end of this verse that drives people nuts. And I quote it to people every week almost, and they don't want to hear it, and they don't get it. But it's in here, so we're going to read it. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, you want to read somebody a verse that'll make them crazy, this is the one to read them. Because we live in a world where we don't want to hear about the way, we want to hear about a way, just another way. And the proverbial statement that I hear is, well, there are many roads that lead to God, and as long as you're on one of those, we're all going to end up the same place. Ever hear anybody say that? It's just not true. People say, well, Richard, that is so narrow. That is so, it's just too limiting. You're excluding all these people. Let me tell you again, I'm not excluding anybody. I didn't write this stuff. But if the God of the universe is going to go to the trouble to say, you know what, I got one son, we're going to send him to earth, born of a virgin, live a perfect life, die a perfect sacrifice, be buried and raised from the dead. If there's some other road and a way to get to God, he wouldn't have sacrificed his own son. And people say, well, Jesus is just a way. There are many other prophets and other teachers and people who came and did what he did. Let me tell you something. If Jesus is not the way, there is no way I need him at all. And if he is not God in the flesh, I don't need him. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 9. If you kind of open your Bible in the very middle, if you let it drop open, you may hit Psalms. And Isaiah is right to the right of that. Isaiah chapter 9, Psalms, Proverbs, keep going, you're almost there. One of the prophecies about Jesus coming that we refer to a lot at Christmas is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And I'm telling you, underline this stuff, mark it in your Bible, whatever you got to do to show somebody, especially this time of year. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, listen to this. For unto us a child is born, referring to Jesus. Unto us a son is given, capital S on the son. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called. And now it lists out some names of this person who would come, this God-child who would come. His name will be called Wonderful. Okay, maybe there's other prophets that are wonderful. Counselor, maybe there are other guys that had great advice or counselors. But what are you going to do with the next two words? Mighty God. He's the mighty God. He's the wonderful counselor, mighty God, the Prince of Peace. This can't be just any old body. He can't be just a way. He's got to be the way, or the Bible would not refer to him as mighty God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, guys. It's not very popular, but I'm not backing off of this. And I know as sure as I'm standing here, these tapes go out of here, people come sit in here, and you say, I will never come back here. You're too bigoted. You're too narrow. You're intolerant. And I say to you, then show me a better way. You show me some other religion out there that even claims, even gets close to claiming that the God of the universe sent his own son to live and die so you and I could live and not have to die eternally. And I'll take a look at it. I haven't found it. I've read them, and I say to people, look, you go try it. You say this isn't it. You go into any other kind of building, any other kind of religion. You sit there and say, okay, God, hit me. Talk to me. Tell me what's up with this. Is there anything to this? You say, but they're very sincere people, and they think they found a way to God. And this is going to sound like a bizarre example, but I'm going to give it to you anyway because I've been using it lately. Let's say we all agree that Christianity is bunk. This isn't it. This is too intolerant. We're going to start a new church. Beginning today, we're going to start a new religion, and we're going to worship ducks. Okay? We're going to start a duck church. And here's the deal. We all have agreed that we think the duck is it, and we're going to worship the duck. And we're all going to put little carved ducks in our homes, and every day we're going to wake up and pray to the duck. Okay? Now, people would say, well, you're crazy. Why would you worship a duck? Well, there's people on the planet now worshiping all kinds of stuff, so let's just go with a duck. So we're all going to be duck worshipers. Now, it seems like there's nobody doing this. But if we went out and convinced a few people that ducks were it and that you should worship ducks, we might start to grow. And if you gave it a few thousand years, you might have tens of thousands, if not millions of people worshiping ducks. Does that make it legitimate? Now, do y'all hear what I'm saying? There are people hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, who set up, the devil comes along and says, okay, I'm going to get them anything to get them off of God and off of Jesus, so we're going to get them tracking anything. We're going to get them worshiping a statue of some kind, worshiping the creation instead of the creator. And just because you can distract millions of people into worshiping the wrong thing doesn't make it right. You say, but how can all those people wrong? It's the same thing. If 100 people can be wrong, 100 million people could be wrong. It's not my problem to make it right or wrong. It's my responsibility to see what God says in His Word and tell you that. You say, but I don't know how to answer, my friends. Don't try to answer them yourself. Let the book speak. And if they don't like this, let them argue with God in this book. You say, but there are other books out there. Well, I could write a duck manual to go with the duck religion. And it all sound nice and beautiful. And you say, but Richard, you're making fun. You're being intolerant. I'm not. I'm just telling you either believe this stuff or you don't. And he either is the way or he is just a way. And if he is just a way, let's all go home. Let's go to the Cowboy game. Verse 6 again. Underline it, read it, know what it says. Jesus said to him, and this is John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, Thomas, the way to get there is me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know what that means? There is no other way to the God of the universe except through His Son, Jesus. Now, not everybody agrees with this. I grant you that. And I'm trying as much as possible. And what I encourage you to do is to speak the truth in a loving way. And you're going to have people argue with you. And they're going to be upset. And they're going to be frustrated. But guys, there can't be all these ways when Jesus says there is one way. You can't have all these roads because it makes Jesus a liar. If Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but through me, then somebody's right and somebody's wrong, and you're going to have to figure out which it is, right? And you follow this logic? If you are going to say that Jesus is not the way, the truth, and the life, then you're going to have to scrap the book because it makes the whole thing a farce and go find you some other religion. Because it is either truth or he is either truth or he's not. He's either the way or he's not. He is either the life or he's not any of these things whatsoever. Now, lest you say, well, there's that maybe some verse that's in controversy and the manuscripts don't have it and yada, 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 whatever. Let's look at another one. 1 Timothy 2. Go hard right. 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to begin with verse 1. And I hope you're taking notes because you're going to get in this conversation before you die and you better have something to say and it better not be just your opinion. Show them what God says and let them figure it out for themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And it's interesting the context that he gives in this one, talking about Jesus and who he is and what he can do or has done. But verse 1, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Pray for the leaders of your country. It makes for peace, quiet and peaceable living, godliness and reverence. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior who desires. Now this is what God desires, not just that we all have nice, quiet, peaceful lives, but this is what God wants, verse 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all men to be saved. Saved from what? If God is providing escape from an eternity separated from Him in a real hell, according to the Bible, and He is offering heaven, then how does He rescue? The picture here, maybe it'll help you, is this. All of humanity is drowning in a sea, and Jesus comes through in a lifeboat and says, anybody who doesn't want to drown and wants to survive this and be saved or rescued from drowning, hop in the boat. And He comes by you, and He says, are you okay? And you say, yes, I'm fine. It's a little cold, but I'll make it. He says, well, if you'd like, this is a rescue vehicle. I can take care of you, not just get you out of the water, but get you out of the ocean. I got a great place for you. Do you want to come with me? No, I'll just tread water here and make it by myself. And frankly, guys, that's what most people do all their life is just tread water. And they stay alive as long as they can and think, I can do it, I can do it. I don't need God or anybody. And if you just let Him save you or rescue you, things would change dramatically. And you say, well, I don't need you. You're going to be independent. I don't need you. God says we need to be saved or He wouldn't have come to save us. Verse 4 again, He desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Jesus already said, we read in John 14, that He is the truth. So if you're going to come to the knowledge of the truth, you're going to have to get to know Him because He is the truth. Verse 5, now guys, it's right here again. For there is one God, and I think there's a lot of people who agree with that. Most people I talk to say, okay, I believe there's one God. I think there's a lot of ways of that God, but I think there's one God. Well, look what else he says. For there is one God and one mediator, one go-between, between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is one God and one mediator. That means there's no other way to get to this God but through the man Christ Jesus. You have to go through Jesus. Now, there's two places. Now, lest anybody say, well, I need more than that. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Go hard left. Acts chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 5 there. This is a situation where Peter and John have been arrested for preaching this very gospel. And if you don't think it goes over big now, it really didn't go over big back when this was written. I mean, these guys were threatened within an inch of their life, were beaten within an inch of their life, and some of them were killed because they believed this story. So it's not popular now. It wasn't popular then. It's never going to be popular because everybody wants it to be about everybody. Anybody gets in. I'm not against everybody getting in. I'm just telling you, the book says there's only one way, and it's through this person, Jesus Christ. I think I've made that point pretty clear. All right. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, Peter and John, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this, healed this person?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone." You're trying to build this whole God thing without the chief cornerstone. You rejected Christ, but he's turned out to be the cornerstone that the whole thing's built on. Verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other." There is salvation in nobody else. "For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, is that pretty clear? Now, guys, you're going to have to get over this. You say, but I can't tell people that. You got to just get over it. It's either true or it's not. The scriptures are replete with this stuff. That he is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There's no other way. And you either believe it or you don't. Now you say, "Richard, I just can't believe it. I can't swallow it. I don't agree." That's fine. But I'm just telling you there are consequences. And if you say, "Well, I believe it for me, but I can't push this on anybody else." I'm not saying to push it on anybody to begin with. I'm saying when you get an opportunity to give a reason for the hope that's within you, you better have some hope and better have a reason. And not say, "Well, you know, I think this is true, maybe so, maybe not." Tell them what God says and let him do his thing in their heart and in their life. That's what he did in yours. So let God work on them the way he worked on you. And don't try to argue it. Don't try to explain it away. Just say, "You know what? Here's what the book says. It's either true or it's not." And if you say you don't believe it, guys, you're getting on wishy-washy, flaky ground. You can't be on both sides of the fence. It can't be both ways. He can't be the way and a way at the same time. You say, "Well, people aren't going to like me. They're going to think I'm narrow-minded and all these things." You know what? It's not a popularity contest either. People's lives are at stake. My life's at stake. Your life's at stake. Where they spend eternity. Stop trying to make friends so much and be popular with everybody and give them truth. If you've ever been a part of an intervention where somebody's an alcoholic or drugs or something like, you're not trying to make friends with them. You're trying to save their life. And you may say it in a loving way, but there may be lots of truth mixed in that where you say, "You know what? We're not going to sit by and watch this anymore. Here's the deal. Here's what we observe. Here's what we think has to happen. And we want to help you." And sooner or later, if you haven't yet, you're going to sit down and have a conversation with a father, mother, brother, sister, friend, coworker, and say, "You know what? I'm not pushing this on you. You may disagree, but I love you enough to tell you that this is who has changed my life. And this is why. And this is what God said about him. And this is what it's done in my heart and in my life. And I want so desperately for you to have this." And they may look at you and say, "I think you're full of it, I don't agree," and just walk away. That's fine, but at least give them the opportunity to hear the truth and to meet the truth in person. And leave the results up to God and just pray for them and love them and let them see the change in your own life. All right, let me read you one other one over in John chapter 1, back to the left. John chapter 1 and verse 29. And this is a great story if you want to read this sometime. John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin, Jesus' mother Mary and Elizabeth, John's mom, were cousins. And John the Baptist is this crazy guy who's out in the wilderness that eats bugs and drinks honey and stuff like that. I mean, he's a wild man, and that's what he was intended to do. He's out in the wilderness baptizing people. And one day, he's baptizing, and Jesus shows up. Look at verse 39. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said," he looked up and saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." I can't find any other religion with anything even remotely close to this. And it is true, Mary had a little lamb, and this is the lamb. And when John saw Jesus, he said, "That is the Lamb of God." In the Old Testament, if you go read the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial system. a perfect lamb in some cases had to be sacrificed to atone for sin. And in this case, a person, Jesus, was the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sins of the world. And when Jesus came and lived a perfect life so that he could die a perfect lamb and shed his blood to atone for our sins, to make everything right so there'd be forgiveness of sins and provision of eternal life, guys, he cannot be just another man. He cannot be just a way. He has got to be the way, or it is the biggest waste on the planet. It is the greatest tragedy in history, and there is nobody I've talked to that can explain away to me why the God of the universe would have sacrificed his own son and then said, well, you know, he is one of the ways to get to me, but there are all these other ways too. He would never have made this sacrifice if he wasn't the way. Does that make sense? There is no reason for this. If there were many other paths and many other ways, Jesus should have just stayed in heaven and let us try to make it down another road. And every time you see somebody going down another road, the road sign they don't see on all those other roads is dead end. There's a dead end sign on every other road that leads to God except the one to Jesus. And the Bible says of itself, straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be that find it. So don't get all worried and concerned. Well, it seems like there's not many people responding. You don't worry about that. That's God's problem. My responsibility and my privilege, frankly, is to share with people the truth, the person who is truth, and let them make their own decision. And as has already been mentioned today, of all times of the year when you can have these conversations, this is it. And I want you to be equipped and be prepared and be ready so that when someone asks a reason for the hope that's within you or why you believe what you believe, that you don't just kind of, I don't know, let me call the preacher. But where you sit down and you say, you know what? I don't know that I can explain this as eloquently as someone else may be able to, but this is what I know. That I believe Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin at Christmas, that he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross to pay for my sin, was buried and on the third day was raised from the dead, and he's alive and he lives in me and through me. And when I die, I'm going to heaven not because of how good I was, but because of this gift of eternal life that God offered me and I received. And if you want him living in you and you want your sins forgiven and you want to spend eternity with God, the same deal is offered to you. Take it or leave it. Anybody in the room can say that. And you say, well, what if they say this, this, and that? Let me tell you the best answer to a question you don't have the answer to. I don't know. They say, well, what do you mean you don't know? I don't know. Don't say things you don't know. Tell them what you do know. And then say, well, you know what? I'll try to find that answer. And let's get back together and talk about it some more. You are surrounded with people who are looking for the way. And they even know in their minds, this can't all be true. There's got to be one way to get to God. There has to be something that's Jesus thing. And if you will take the time to listen to them and share with them and love them enough to be patient with them through the process, you'd be amazed at how many people you sit down with and show them what the way is, not just a way. He is not just a way in a manger. He is the way in a manger. And I encourage you today to find that out personally if you don't know that, and to take it out of this place to a world who needs to hear it because they don't know it. And they don't know how to put the pieces together. And you say, well, Richard, you can do that. That's your job. Let me tell you something. It's anybody's job. It's all of our privilege. And no matter where you are, any time of the day or night, you can have these conversations. People are searching. They just don't know. They walk in with three or four pieces of a puzzle, a 1,000-piece puzzle. They don't have the cover on the box, anything to go by. And they say, do you know where the missing pieces are? How do I put these together? They don't know what to do. And you sit down and you got the pieces. You say, here's this piece and that piece, and here's why it can make sense, and here's how you put it together. They come to life, literally, and realize maybe there is an answer. Maybe there is hope. Maybe I don't have to die feeling this way, ignorant or stupid, without knowing which way to turn or who to ask. And you hold the pieces. You hold the key to somebody's eternity. Because they're either going to get it out of here, out of this book, or they're going to get it out of your heart and your mouth. And it's time, guys. You've got the opportunity. You've got the people. They're all over the place. The Bible says the fields are wide into harvest. So keep your eyes and ears open this day, every day, this week especially, and be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within you and tell them that he is not just a way in a manger. He is the way in a manger.
Thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks. So many people like you tell us that Richard's unique way of boiling down God's truths and making his word clear and easy to apply to our daily life is what sets this program apart from everything else on your radio, helping to reach everyone together with God's good news. In fact, reaching everyone together is not only Pastor Richard's ministry mission, but it's also the mission that Jesus commands each believer when he gave us our marching orders in Mark 16:15, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So that's what these daily talks are all about, to encourage and equip us to be a light of hope to others this Advent season. Now, during the 25 talks of Christmas this month, it's a different holiday-themed program each and every day. So if you miss any previous Christmas talk, just click on the daily Advent calendar at richardellistalks.com to listen to, download, or share any of these Christmas talks. It's right there on the homepage at richardellistalks.com. And while you're on the website, be sure to surf around for hundreds of other encouraging audio and video talks, tons of interesting blogs, or to submit a request on the prayer wall, or to follow us on social at Talk with Richard, and much more. It's all right there at richardellistalks.com, alongside the Daily Christmas Talks Advent Calendar. So as we wrap up, thank you for listening today, and thank you for praying for Richard, as we look forward to coming alongside you again for the next of our 25 Talks of Christmas on Richard Ellis Talks.